So we begin. A little bit about the history of the Sound of Music first, and how this idea came to be for me. So I had been preparing many years ago now, I had been preparing a talk on the five basic principles of unity. And I was also taking a course on the metaphysical interpretation of scripture. And at the same time, I heard on the radio, just sort of, it was all at the same time, that it was the 50th, at that time, anniversary of the Sound of Music. And so it was playing in the background, and as I was listening and I was thinking about these principles and thinking about metaphysical interpretation and metaphorical interpretation, which are just big words for things that we see around us and how they can represent something different, and things that can represent things inside of us. And I was listening to these words and realized that they were so very clever, and that there was so much wisdom in the words of the Sound of Music. And so today we have an excuse not just to sing along with some really fun and enduring songs, but we also have a chance to look at them a little differently and to perhaps take some meaning from them that we can carry with us as we sing these songs in the future. The movie itself was released in 1965, so it is now 50, somebody do the math, 58 years old. It is, or was, the fifth highest grossing film of all time. Isn't that amazing? It was also the last work of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II. And it is loosely based on a true story, which is what makes it even more inspiring. 19-year-old Maria von Trapp was actually a novice in training to become a nun in an abbey in Salzburg in the early 1930s. And the abbess sent her to become a tutor to the children of a widowed naval commandant named Georg von Trapp. So that part is all true. The family became well known as the Von Trapp Family Choir. And in real life, They won first place in the Salzburg Music Festival in 1936. They also were traveling across the country. And in 1938, when the Nazis annexed Austria, they realized that they were on thin ice, as it were, because they did not agree with the values of this new regime. Georg, just as in the movie, refused to fly the Nazi flag on their home. He also declined to accept a naval command invitation, and he declined a request to sing at Hitler's birthday party. They made that difficult decision to leave Austria, realizing that they were worried about their family. And so, just as in the movie, they left. But this is where the movie takes on a bit more of a romantic theme, because what happened in real life is that they took a train and they left the country. They moved first to Switzerland, They took a train first to Italy, and then they traveled on to the United States, where they bought a farm, and they settled in Vermont in a farm, where they then ran a music camp for people. So that's some of the background of the movie itself and the musical itself. And now let's just take a look at the words and the meaning behind The Sound of Music, this song that we just sang. In the song, the lyrics are, "The hills are alive, songs they have sung for 1,000 years. The hills fill my heart. My heart wants to sing. I go to the hills when my heart is lonely, knowing that when I go to the hills, my heart will be blessed." But here are some ideas to think about. Hills, mountains, always represent something higher. You've often may have heard the song, "I'll Take the High Road." Michelle Obama, "When they go low, I'll go high." High always represents a more loving, expansive, open, accepting outlook. And in numerous references in scripture, we see that the hills represent a place where we become in closer connection to God or to nature or to the idea that we are part of one. So they become a place where we remember our experience and connection with creative power, divine, God, nature, life. Music represents vibrations of harmony, of beauty. And when we sing, we feel uplifted. Music has been proven to make you feel better, even when you sing the blues. When you sing, you increase oxygen to your brain. This improves your mental ability. It increases your feel-good hormone, dopamine. And so we feel more connected, more in harmony with ourselves, a place of upliftment and joy. And what I find interesting is the third part of this is our hearts. Our hearts wants to sing. Our heart wants to sing. Well, our hearts are our inner longing, aren't they? We long for calm, for contentment, for connection. We long for love. We long for being a part of community. And the idea of this going to the hills, going to this enduring mountain to find peace and joy, because our hearts long for that connection, is the meaning of this song. So whenever we are feeling lonely or isolated, we can remember this song. We can remember to go to the hills, because it is in the hills, in the higher places, that we will find this more expansive view. We'll be restored, and we'll sing once more. Next. So the next song we're going to sing will be How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria? And as you'll see in these lyrics, we see in the picture, Maria is always running late, I can identify. And she dashes. She hears the bells ringing and realizes she's supposed to be back at the Abbey, and she's been goofing off on the mountain and enjoying nature. And while she's there, the nuns are gossiping. The nuns are gossiping, talking about Maria and what a problem this girl is. And so they start labeling her with all of these labels. A flippity-gibbet, an angel, a demon, a clown, a will-o'-the-wisp. And they go from everything lovely to everything not so much. And what's interesting is they are nuns. You'd think they would know better. What do we take from this? We take from it, in my view, that it is a predictable human reaction for us to label. So let's not be too hard on ourselves when we find ourselves labeling. And let us remember that the labels are about us, not about the other person. I saw a t-shirt once that says, that said, your opinion of me tells me more about you than it does about me. And so we see these nuns all with different opinions about the same person. And let that be a reminder to us that those ideas are subjective. They aren't necessarily true. And they are creating a sense of false community with these nuns. Because you know what? If they're talking about Maria, it means that they're not focusing on themselves. So think about when you are making judgments and labeling about someone else. Is it just a way of deflecting from your own inner time with yourself? And then we see one person say, I'd like to say a word on her behalf. Courage to stand up. And then the wisdom of the Mother Abbess, who says, She's all of those things and none of those things. She's just a girl. One of the most powerful things that we can do when we are labeling someone is to put the word sometimes after our label. Sometimes she's an angel, sometimes she's not so much. Because we are all at times angels and devils and will-o'-wisps and clowns. It is part of our human experience because we're people. So let's stand and sing this lovely song all about judgment and about remembering she's a girl. How do you solve a problem like Maria?
She climbs a tree and scrapes her knee. Her dress has got a tear. She waltzes on her way to mass and whistles on the stair. And underneath the wimple she has curlers in her hair. I've even heard her singing in the abbey. She's always late for chapel, but her penitence is real. She's always late for everything except for every meal. From heat to have to say it, but I very firmly feel it uses not an asset to the abbey. I'd like to say a word in her behalf. Maria makes me laugh. Catch a cloud and pin it down. How do you find a word that means Maria? A flippity-jippity, will-o'-wisp, a clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand. But how do you make her stay and listen to all you say? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? Catch a cloud and pin it down. How do you find a word that means Maria? A gibbity gibbet, a will o' the wisp, a clown. Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand. But how do you make her stay and listen to all you say? How do you keep a wave upon the sand?
Next, we take a look at the song My Favorite Things. This is an example of unity's third principle, that how we experience life is a result of how we think about the experiences in our life. And in the song, My Favorite Things, just to set the stage for you, the children are scared because of a storm which has come into town, and it has lots of thunder and lightning. And Maria distracts them from their fear. Notice she doesn't ask them to deny that they are afraid. What she says, though, is, come on in. I see that you're scared. Come here to a place of comfort. And then she essentially changes the channel by asking them what their favorite things are. And the reason this works is because when we are in a place where we start thinking differently, where we start especially thinking of our favorite things, we literally change our heart rate, and that literally changes our brain waves. It brings everything else into calm when our hearts are calm. That's a scientific thing, thanks to HeartMath Institute, that has helped us to understand that when our hearts are calm, everything else in our bodies calm down as well. And one of the best ways to calm our hearts down is to think of things that make us smile. One of my favorite verses in scripture is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which I said to you a couple of weeks ago as well. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And yet, we all feel fear at times. We all feel worry at times. We all feel nervous at times. And one of the best ways to help ourselves get out of that is not to pretend that that's not so, but also not to camp there. I'll never forget the movie Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks, one of my favorite actors anyway. And he speaks to someone who is about to be found guilty of being a spy. And this guy is very calm. And Tom Hanks says to him, "Why are you worried? Why aren't you looking more worried?" And he says three words which can transform your life. Will it help? Will it help? When we think of our favorite things, it helps us to get away from being stuck in that place where we can't stop thinking about the things that could go wrong. But their fear was never going to help the storm get any better. The storm is what is in our lives. And sometimes, oh my gosh, does it rain and thunder and lightning. And so in our lives, when those storms happen, let us go to a place that feels safe. And let us think about our favorite things just to help us to shift from that pattern of worry, of fear, of distress, my favorite things. Then you won't feel so bad.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild goose that fly with sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so.
So as a result of these children coming and being with Maria and her establishing trust with them, she becomes part of their household. And one of the things she does is she wants to teach them to sing. And she wants to teach them not just to sing, but to understand music. So she teaches them do, re, mi. Well, for those of you who don't know, do, re, mi is the language of tonic solfa, which is just a brilliant, sounds so great, doesn't it? My grandfather used to have a hymn book that was written in tonic solfa. And do, re, mi, typically you think of do as being the letter C on the keyboard, and then re is D and so on. But the thing that's nice of do, re, mi is that if you're in a different key, those same relationships will apply. So that's the beauty of tonic solfa. I digress. The thing that was cool about it was once I figured that out, I actually taught myself to play piano using my grandfather's old hymn book, which I wish I could find now. But what happens is do, you think of it as the letter C on the keyboard, re, D, and so on. And what happens is that the children don't know anything about it. It's like, have you ever tried teaching someone something that's complicated and then ask them to remember? One of the best ways to do that is to put it to music. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Did you realize that? My very educated mother just served us 9 no more peas because planets don't, Pluto doesn't count anymore. Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter. Violet, indigo, blue and green, yellow, orange and red. The colors of the rainbow. We have these things, they're called mnemonics, that help us to remember things. And sometimes the best way to remember them is to put them to song. And so what Maria does is teach them do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do by not just the letters, but also the interval. So do, mi, mi is really a third. So she's teaching them skills without them even realizing that they're learning. And so that's the first part of the song. And then the next part is, one of the children says, it doesn't mean anything. And she says, when you know the notes to sing, you can sing anything. And that is the beauty of this song, is it teaches us that if we know the principles, and we can take those principles in, and we can apply them in practice, then we can respond to anything in our lives. And in unity, we have five principles. And nobody remembers what they are. So I decided on the way home from Whistler, poor Walt driving, had to listen to me working this out, to put our principles into song, and I put it to the Happy Birthday tune. You will find it in your welcome packages in a little business card, which I invite you to take, and if you want a magnet, we've got those too. Here are our principles. One universal power, a network of all. Ideas lead to experiences. Take time to be still. You'll live in peace. Our principles are one power, that we're all interconnected, that how we think about our experiences of life will affect how we experience life, that it is important then to focus our attention and take time to be still, and that it's not enough to know these, but to live them. And then, because it doesn't mean anything unless we put it in practice, I did the second verse, which is how to put it into practice. Which is, when peace isn't there, take time to be still and question your thinking. What other idea could add more peace? Do, re, mi is a reminder that if you know the principles and you know the notes to sing, that you can respond to anything. You can sing most anything. Do, re, mi.
Let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC. When you sing, that will bring us back to Do, oh, oh.
How many people sang that in the car when they were kids? Yeah. Remember those days when we didn't have devices and we would actually have to entertain ourselves by singing in the car? Oh, I'm starting to sound old. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
So now we come to a really interesting song, 16 going on 17. When I was a teenager, oh my God, did I want to be Liesl. I had dark hair. I even had a little dress. It didn't have a blue satin sash, but it was white. And I just thought this was the most romantic song ever. The idea that some knight in shining armor would come along and take care of me. And then sometime, not that long ago, like in the last 10 years, I was telling someone about this song, and they said, yeah, you know, codependency. Really? Like, talk about busting a bubble. And then I thought, okay, what is the song really saying? And of course, what it was really saying is, I care about you and I want to protect you. And the other person saying, I love that you care about me. And I want you to be a part of my life. And yet, isn't it true that sometimes we give away some of our power to people because they want to take care of us? Isn't it true that sometimes we care so much about other people that we want to take care of them? And sometimes it doesn't come from a place which is educated or loving, true loving. It may be instead that it is from a place of, I know better for you. And in this song, what we see is that in offering to take care of a 16-year-old, this 17-year-old, hello, sows fear. You don't know how to do this. I know how to do this. You don't know. You are vulnerable. They're going to take advantage of you unless I'm here. The key to this question for me isn't so much the idea of wanting to take care of each other and to show love by taking care of each other, or show love by accepting the care of another. The key is, if I choose not to accept it, will you love me too? One of Shakespeare's most brilliant quotes, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds. Fancy words, which means love is not love if it changes when the other person changes. So the other person says no and you say, I'm out, then perhaps it wasn't love. Maybe it was a contract. And so I don't mean to completely bust your bubble as I had mine busted, but rather to be aware that sometimes we accept advice and opinions and how we should be in the world from people who aren't that much more equipped than we are. And so let us remember to keep our own power and to choose who we share that power with. Rather than depending on other people and giving it all away, what if we could choose power with and choose to be together? So sing this song. Enjoy the song and realize that sometimes we are Liesl, wanting someone to take care of us and giving ourselves away. Sometimes we are Rolf. Sometimes we are the person insisting that we are the ones who know better. And the truth is, sometimes. 16 going on 17. Just remember, we play both of those characters. So Maria realizes that she's in love. And she becomes afraid of this idea. So looking for the comfort of the known, she goes back, runs away, and goes to the abbey and lets the mother abbess know that she wants to come back. And the abbess says no. And the abbess basically says, you've found a dream. Have the courage to follow it. Have you ever had a dream that you've not had the courage to follow? Have you ever gotten to a point of wonder at a new experience and it's so overwhelmingly scary that you want to run back to the familiar, even though that familiar didn't always work well for you? A quote from the movie Grumpy Old Men: "The only thing in this life that you regret are the risks you didn't take." What if we could know that it is our, what Jesus said is, it is your Father's joy to give you the keys to the kingdom. What if you could know that it was okay to be great, that it was okay to be loved and to love? What if you could know that it was okay to be joyfully and blissfully happy? And sometimes what it means is that it's going to be uncomfortable. And that is why you want to climb every mountain.
You should.
So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Perhaps I somewhere in my wicked, miserable past, there must have been a moment of truth. For here you are standing there loving me, whether or not you should. Somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could. So somewhere in my youth or childhood,
so would you close your eyes with me for a moment as we just take those ideas into a time of meditation. Perhaps you've had a wicked childhood. Perhaps you had a miserable youth. What if you could know that you are something good? What if you could know that you need not be defined by those things that you sometimes label unpleasant, unacceptable, miserable, wicked? What if you could hold on to the idea that the moment of truth is that you were born and you are a blessing to the world? What if you could see those experiences as gifts that helped you be who you are today? That helped to form who you want to be? And what if you could sing that song to every part of yourself? What if you could know that just like the wildflower that grows through the snow on the mountainside, that at your core, that you are pure. That you are bright. That you are lovely. Just as Edelweiss grows naturally from the mountain, so we too are extensions and expressions from the power that we call God. And as we sing Edelweiss, let us consider singing this song as a love song to ourselves. That every morning when we look in the mirror, that we are happy to see ourselves. That we have done something good simply by being. And that, like blossoms of snow, we long to bloom and grow. We are pure, we are white. We are bright. We are clean. We are Edelweiss.
You look happy too.
And we come to the end of our program for The Sound of Music. Remember, we started with the discussion about the song, The Hills Are Alive. A reminder to look up beyond our physical appearances, to move to a higher level of consciousness in everything we do. Then we moved to how do you solve a problem like Maria? A reminder that labels are sticky and they can be removed. And our goal is to recognize humanness rather than labels. Then we moved to my favorite things, a reminder that how we think and what we focus on affects our world and affects our experience of life. We sang Do Re Mi to remind us that basics matter and that when we know what our values are and we practice them, then we can live them and sing any song. Then we moved to 16, going on 17, a reminder to allow people to make their own choices and support with them, rather than have power over or give power. And then we followed with Climb Every Mountain, a song which reminds us that it's okay to follow our dream. And Tom sang us that beautiful song. Knowing that it doesn't matter whether we had a horrible childhood or any other adverse experience, that what matters is that we exist. That we've done something good just by being here. And we ended with Edelweiss, that wildflower that grows naturally out of the mountain. A reminder for each one of us that we are natural expressions of the mountain, growing out of the mountain. And let us sing love songs to ourselves, to see the beauty in each one of us. If you're feeling sad, go to the hills. If you are feeling judgmental, remember Maria. If you're feeling scared, remember your favorite things. If you falter, go back to the basics, to Do Re Mi. If you're unsure, remember to trust in whatever brings you joy and climb every mountain. Remember, if you are feeling unworthy, then you've done something good because you are here. And when you're feeling separated, remember that you are like Edelweiss, a natural expression that pours out of the mountain. Let us sing as our final song, The Sound of Music, one more time. Go to the hills. Go to the hills. I bless you. Shall we stand?
The hills. over stones on its way.